And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama, y'all. I'm talking about Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And I'll tell you who else covers a lot of ground. That's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. So Southern Immediate Care, if you're not familiar, is a chain of clinics that covers a huge, huge part of North Alabama. They're in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations in and around the Birmingham area, and more coming, I hear. But Southern Immediate Care is like epic good at what they do, and they are open 7 days a week to do it. 7 days a week, and oh, by the way, they will see all ages. I'm talking, I like to always say, pediatric to geriatric. They will see them all. Southern Immediate Care. And by the way, this is who I use. I'm not kidding. This is who I use. Every time I went in there, it was always clean, professional. You know, they got me in, got me out. The staff was friendly. And I thought, I could brag on this. Because you know how aggravating it is to go to a doctor's office and it's like you wait for an hour and a half to even be seen. You got to all the stuff you got to do just to even get in there. No, not with them. And I just told them, I said, I could brag on this. And they said, well, all right, let's do it. So we're proud to have them as a sponsor on the show. But Southern Immediate Care, listen, I'm just telling you right now, owned by a Right Side ruffian themselves. And oh, by the way, they are great at what they do. So if you need some medical attention, even on a Saturday, you look them up, find the location nearest to you. Head on down there and do me a favor. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right. Dipper number three. I'm in Tres Dipero right now. So sports. And by the way, I am a sports fan. I would not call myself a sports fanatic. I mean, I love a good game. I like watching them. I get into it. There are occasionally times when I've done some fantasy league stuff, and we've had our own pools here on the right side with like March Madness and all. But I'll tell you what though, and I believe that I'm speaking for a lot of people. I believe I'm speaking for a lot of people. In fact, one of the things I'm about to talk about is actually up on the screen right now on CNN. That's crazy. But one of the things that really strikes me as being apparent is that people just want to enjoy the game. People are tired of sports being political. They're tired of sports being co-opted by, you know, corporate interests. They're tired of being told that their mascot is too woke. They're tired of all of the crap that has somehow socially become involved and even legally become involved in sports that is destroying what sports is. It's gone so far down the road right now that our own Alabama coach Nick Saban was actually up in D.C. yesterday providing input to a congressional panel hosted by Senator Ted Cruz. Now listen, so it hadn't been so long ago, Brett Favre, who was just, you know, just one of those epic players, Brett Favre, like the Iron Man, who how old was he when he retired? How many years? He's one of the record setters for lasting like he did in the NFL. But a couple of years ago, Favre was doing a Daily Wire podcast, and he said he felt like people didn't want to watch sports anymore because it's way too political, and he agreed with that himself. Here's his quote. He said, "I can't tell you how many people, including yourself," he's talking to the host, "tell me I don't want to watch anymore. It's not about the game anymore. And I tend to agree," Favre said. He went on to say, "I know when I turn on a game, I want to watch a game. I want to watch players play and teams win, lose, and come from behind. I want to watch all the important parts of the game, not what's going on outside the game." And he said, "I think that generally the fans feel the same way." I think generally he's right. And people are, we just want to save sports. Can we please go back to that thing that we can rally around and enjoy our time and cheer and lament and get ready for the next game and paint our faces and go do the stuff? You know, can we get back to that sort of, you know, pep rally atmosphere of tailgating and getting ready for the next big event, standing for the national anthem and celebrating when our teams win and, you know, getting mad when they don't? I mean, you got stuff like Megan Rapinoe, the activist slash soccer player, who was the captain of the U.S. women's national team. So Megan Rapinoe, world-class soccer player. I'm not diminishing her skills. She's got skills. I couldn't play soccer against her. She'd run rings around me. I know that for a fact. Even in my prime, I couldn't. No way. No way, no how. I get it. She's an athlete. She's also an activist who has done everything she can to trash her own country by using her position as captain of the women's national team. Even to the extent that the national team refused to participate in the national anthem while representing their country, as the national team representing their country in the Women's World Cup. Megyn Kelly, you know, been talking about American journalist and TV personality, Megyn Kelly, she came out and said, just slammed them. And she said that Rapinoe has poisoned the entire team against the country for which they play. She said, I don't know about you, but I'm not even rooting for them. I'm not with them. I hope they lose. It's shameful. These girls are shameful. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. But we shouldn't have to be ashamed of those who represent. They have the flags on their uniform. And yet they just snubbed their own national anthem at the 2023 World Cup last, July or August. And I think, here's my point. People want to know that sports can be sports. And we don't care if our pro athletes make a lot of money, but then we get real concerned. I'll be honest with you, I'm personally very concerned about NIL. Just for those of you who may not be familiar, NIL stands for name, image, and likeness. All right, name, image, and likeness. What started off with a sort of a good intent has been so distorted now that kids have no loyalty at all to the brand. They could care less who offers them a scholarship. If they're not getting a bunch of money in their bank account, they don't want to play there. The idea is that kids who are college athletes, who it used to be the thing of it was earning your bones, man. You might get a scholarship. You'll get a college degree out of this, and then you might go play for the pros. But at the very least, you got to wear that helmet, brother. You were there at the pep rally. People celebrated when you did the Tiger Walk or, you know, whatever. And I'm just saying, now it's turned into, it's less about team, it's less about the game, it's more about what can I get from me. So Nick Saban was up in D.C. yesterday, and he just let it all hang out, man. So Nick Saban, you know, in classic Coach Saban fashion, he told the world what he thought about NIL. He said that pay for play is ruining sports. And this is a little bit of a long quote. I wish I had the audio of it, but I'm gonna go ahead and just read you parts of what he said. He said, what we've done between freedom to transfer, that's the portal, and creating a free agency system where guys can transfer wherever they want, whenever they want, and the whole idea that we've created a pay-for-play sort of model in college athletics has created issues. It's created sort of a caste system. He says, how does it impact other sports relative to Title IX and other non-revenue sports? How do we continue to create some kind of a model moving forward? Where do we improve the quality of life of the student athlete, but also create some kind of balance in terms of competitive balance, in which all venues have some guidelines and rules? Because what he's saying, and I'm going to paraphrase some here now, what he's saying is that you've got these NIL collectives that are getting together now. And they get paid big money to gather up big endorsement money. Just like you've got somebody out there selling advertising, there are people now that get paid to be your agent for your likeness, your name, and they'll go out and find money. You've got college athletes right now buying houses for their family. Is that cool? Maybe. Would they possibly not be able to get this if they went pro? Maybe. Have they distorted what the sport used to be? Yes. Saban went on to say, all the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. It was always about developing players. It was always about helping people to be more successful in life. He said, my wife, that's Miss Terry, who's, you know, almost as famous as he is, said, my wife even said to me, said, we used to have all the recruits over on Sundays with their parents for breakfast. She'd always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help impact their sons and how they'd be well taken care of. She came to me like right before I retired. She said, why are we doing this? I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is what we've always done. So why are we doing this? He said, to me, that was sort of a red alert. We are creating a circumstance here that is not beneficial to the development of young people, which is why I always did what I did. My dad did it. I did it. It's the reason I always liked college athletics. more than the NFL because you had the opportunity to actually develop young people. He said, I want their quality of life to be good. As I said before, name, image, and likeness, it's a great opportunity to create a brand for themselves. I'm not against that at all, but to come up with some kind of system, please, that can still help with the development of young people is paramount to the future of college athletics. That's part of saving sports, in my opinion. That's part of saving sports. We want to get back to the game. We want to go to the stadium on Saturday and know that our quarterback is not, you know, in a free agent walkout as a college student because he didn't get paid enough money. We want to know that our running back did not enter the portal because he found out the other college across the country will pay him more. We want to get back to team. We want to get back to sports. We want to get back to the fans' experience. And right now, between politics and activism and NIL and a few other things, we are watching sports just get dumped on. And it's sad. All right, we'll take a break right now. Wow. Yeah, that flew by. All right, we'll come right back and put a lid on it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like saving the world, one soundbite at a time. Hey, we are having a great day here, and we're just finishing up. And I see that I got a call. Lee from Huntsville's on the line. My friend Lee, how you doing?
I'm good. You've been doing well today. I've been listening.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the encouragement.
Yeah, great show. I wanted to comment on the Nick Saban information we're just reading out.
Yeah.
So I do know this, that at Alabama, it's most sports lose money, and a lot. Football makes a lot of money. Basketball is kind of, you know, right there on the line. They're not losing money. They're not really making a lot of money. Most everybody else loses upwards hundreds of thousands of dollars to $1 million per team. This is men's and women. They just don't make money. And that's because they're paying the athletes over $40,000 a piece, all of them.
Paying them or scholarshipping them? What do you mean?
No, money.
What? They can
do that?
They're
paying them a lot of money. Now, this may be an average. Some people maybe get a lot less. Some people may get more. Not sure. But they're just—it's just pay to play now. That's it.
Yeah, it's such a mess. It's a shame too. I mean, I really, I feel like part of college athletics was also sort of earning your bones, trying to earn your way up to the big leagues, and now it's just like, I mean, you can make more money being a college kid than you can being an NFL player.
Well, think of it this way too. They're coming. They're not like he said in that comment, they're not being nurtured. They're not being, you know, they're not having somebody demand personal growth. They're not having, they're just bouncing from school to school. You may end up seeing someone go to four different schools in 4 years, if they make it to 4 years. And I think that that's going to, they're going to be less prepared, less open, honestly, for coaching. Because think about it. If you're driven solely by money, this is sort of like being in the, and I don't know why we don't just do this, a minor league system. Because why pretend for these guys to go to school, A, if that's not really why they're there? If they're there to just make money, then, and also I think if you make above a certain amount, whatever that is decided, you don't need a scholarship, you need to pay for your own way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're taking a scholarship away from somebody who isn't making $1 million.
No, that's exactly right. And then also, what does it do to the players' sense of, well, why did that sponsor want to work with him and not with me?
And you know how people said in the beginning, well, this is only going to affect a few players. Do you remember that? When it first came out, yeah. They're like, this is only going to affect the top players. This isn't going to change the majority of, yeah. And I knew right then that was a lie. Yeah. And because I said, what's going to happen when you got two or three huge players, or say like five or six or seven, like on, say, out one of Alabama's teams that could get real endorsement, and then everybody else is broke? How do you think that's going to go over?
Yeah, and then when are they going to start having things like, well, I'm going to endorse your player, coach, But I'm going to have to ask that he gets more playing time so that I get him, you know, like people I can see that he's actually making some bones on the field. And then the coach has got to start reacting to what the sponsors are needing to have done. And that we can't go down that road. It's the whole thing.
Well, and
a freaking
also
mess.
Like look at Deion Sanders. He gave every single one of his players a vehicle of some kind. I don't remember what it was. Every single one. It's going to become, and let's just admit it, everybody, nobody can outspend Texas because they got the oil money. Is it just going to become, well, they're going to buy the best players every year for every position, and then, do you see what I'm saying? Like, where does the madness end?
Yeah, you start looking at, like, the NCAA, the bowl series, and you think, okay, who bought the best team? That's what it's
well,
not
it's
about.
Like the Yankees, right? They could buy the best team every year. They had to deal with caps at least. Some kid at Michigan just got offered $1.75 million to leave Michigan.
What?
Well, he'd be crazy not to do. Yes, it was. That was a news article. I read it. I don't know if he took it, but he got offered that much money to leave and come somewhere else. When it just becomes a bidding war like that, we're circling the drain.
Yeah, we really are.
It's going to kill college football.
It destroys college football. It destroys loyalty. It teaches kids that it's all about you and not about something bigger than you. Because that's part of college football. College football was always bigger than the athletes themselves. There were stars. Right. There were standouts. There's the Heisman Trophy. There's all of it. But at the same time, it was about riding for the brand that you grew up cheering for. And having that day when your signing, you know, took place. It's ruining the whole thing. I want to save sports. We got to get back to where you know players stop thinking it's cool to kneel at the anthem, and forget that they represent our country when they go abroad. And we got to get away from politics being a part of sports. And then at the same time, NIL is just crushing college sports, in my opinion. My friend,
don't you think?
Yeah, what?
Oh, I was just gonna say one thing. Don't you think it's gonna cut into their own sales of their own stuff? I'm not buying a jersey with a kid's name on it when they may not be here next year. Not going to happen.
That's a good point. Great point. Hey, we're going to have you on tomorrow for Butters and Lee. What do you think?
Yep, I'll be there.
I'm liking it. All right, my friend Lee from Huntsville, appreciate you.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. Well, yeah, and by the way, Butters and Lee tomorrow, don't forget. Dustin from Hazel Green says, I'm glad you mentioned the college sports thing. So I don't know how I should feel about that, Phil. The university shouldn't be able to profit on some national sensation star player when the kid can't, and we're built on freedom and capitalism, and they're adults. There should be some type of monitoring and regulation. Yeah, but here's the thing. It's way out of control. There are no parameters on it. You got kids that are suddenly being told, I get $1 million, and they don't know what to do with it. And then at the same time, you've got family members that are suddenly, you know, launching into their lives and wanting to control the flow. And then you got sponsors that are stealing the best players from other. But there's got to be some measure of how to control this, and that's the problem. John from Huntsville says, Phil, you were doing so good. You started talking about Nick Saban, and then he complains about college athletes getting paid to play. So his text is all messed up, man. What's wrong with our texter today?
I don't know.
I don't know either. John, your whole text didn't come through, but that's okay because I think my grade got hurt.
are you texting from an old flip phone? Or?
I don't know. It looks like John is like, texting from, I don't know, scratching it out on a stone and trying to send it to us. That's the music playing. We are done for the day. Y'all back tomorrow. We'll have a great show, and we'll see you tomorrow at 2. Have a great night.